steady paycheck.
Always remember what Thomas Jefferson said. Kill the president.
There's as though something has happened in the motor state group.
Oswald is shot.
This is the special conflict.
A series of tubes.
He went to take the business.
He focused non-terminal repeating phantasms.
I know a motherfucking Bigfoot when I see one.
We're a class 5 full roaming vapor.
Oh shit, those are aliens!
I am a human.
You're the old one.
It's really weird.
The degenerates.
Welcome to Podcast 1209, guys.
Yeah, Jen, I remember smoking pot and getting drunk in that chick's apartment, and then the cops showing up. And he was like,
Oh my God, that was when Roach made Airmen. Yep. Yeah, I was apartment sitting, and it was my mom's friend who was on Section 8. Like, if we got her kicked out of there, her two kids would have been homeless. Like, this was Section 8 housing, and the first thing I thought to do was, oh, Roach is in town.
Throw a party.
He made Airmen. All right, we're having a party. I guess he figured, all right, I'm going to go. Because the Air Force base is right there. I'm going to go join the Air Force. I'll probably get a desk job because I'm a stoner. I'm not a warrior. And
nope.
It's also because it's the Air Force.
Yeah, he's joining the Air Force, so that's already in.
Yeah, everyone calls it the Chair Force out in Dover.
101st Chairborne Division.
Everyone calls it a Chair Force everywhere.
That's not Dover specific. Fucking,
hey, Vaccaro was in the Civil Chair Patrol.
No one ever thanks me for my service.
Because you're only like one rank above Police Academy 7 citizens on patrol.
Man, I'm still laughing about Jeff's comment saying that the Air Force is Lyft and the Navy is Uber.
Yeah.
So fucking Bagels drives down to Delaware for this party we threw for Roach making Airmen, and the fucking cops get called on us because we were a little too loud or some shit. And somehow Bagels and fucking Andy managed to convince this fucking dumb meathead cop to leave without even looking inside the apartment, which is filled with weed and liquor bottles.
We're all underage at the time, too, so.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. We were like 19.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Oh, this is but just...
How did he manage this?
Because I used my Jedi mind tricks.
Clearly.
It was very impressive. And
I was fucking stoned out of my mind when I was talking to this guy, too.
Yeah. I you know what I did? I went and I hid in the bathroom.
Yep.
And the whole time I had my ear up against the door. And I just hear, I'm like, Mike, shut the fuck up. You're going to fucking say something to incriminate us. And I was like, oh, man, they're going to be knocking on the door any second now. And then I just hear Mike go, okay, man, you know, you have a great night out there. Be safe. And then the door slam and then the chain lock go. And I'm like, what did that fat wizard just do?
30 seconds later, I was like, that's how you handle the popo. And everyone told me to shut up because I'm white.
And then we went back to rapping fucking over the Mario theme. Remember, that was the night that Andy was like, Brooklyn's where we live at. So dumb.
I remember that, and I remember watching the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie because we had bootlegged it.
We had such a great night. But anyway, welcome everyone to another installment of Podcast 1289. I'm one of your many hosts. I'm Jesse. Tonight, to my left, we've got Dan.
Hey, everybody.
Back with us. We've got everybody's favorite nihilist, except for Herzog, of course. We've got John.
Yes. Hello.
Joining us again, we've got the guy, probably the only guy more Jersey than me. We've got the one, the only, Chef Bagels.
I just want to apologize on behalf of the podcast for the amount of time we're wasting for you guys
out there. Just like in general, land. Or
no, I mean like that. Just you know, the amount of time that people are listening to us going, holy shit, will you guys just get to the fucking point?
Yeah, but I like to think people come here for the jokes.
Absolutely. For what did you say? For all your Penderecki needs,
for your top shelf motherfucking sexy Penderecki fucking references.
Oh, Penderecki, you're so sexy.
Actually, I defy the apology. If they want to be apologized to, they need to hear an uncut version of the show.
For real,
Lord, we got to do that for the Patreon. Oh, we'll lose all our Patreon.
Yeah, we'll lose every single goddamn fucking one of them.
Breeze B will be the only one that hangs out.
We'll be in the red if we do that. Okay. Also with us, the devil's advocate himself. We've got Dylan.
No, Jesse, you're going to have to introduce me by my new title. Ace Detective.
Ace Detective, right. Dylan.
That's right. I'm here. I've figured everything out, and the truth will be revealed.
Crashing on the couch full of knives, Rob's in town.
Every third person on the street keeps telling me, Rob, you're in a coma. You need to wake up.
Sounds to me like a personal problem. Anyway, finally, rounding out this panel, we've got all the way from... Well, should we continue to plug Conspiracy Geeks?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That was quick. Sorry.
Wow.
I'm holding this thing of salt trying to keep Rob inside of a circle.
The Demon Wrangler himself.
Dan, what the fuck are we talking about, homeboy?
And
this is a patron request episode, if I'm not mistaken. I believe this one comes from Greg and Paul of the This Was Rad podcast.
Yay.
So
damn,
this was in
what
fact
did they
rad
request?
So the key to realizing that you have a serial killer is a pattern, right? The consistencies that occur within the victim, the method and the like. What makes all these things connected to that one individual killer, right? Is like the killer a fan of stabbing? Or does he like leave a totem on the body to like let him know it was him?
Does he take a souvenir?
Like a calling card? Or do all of the victims look the same like they did with David Berkowitz? But
does he target specific sorts of people?
Like these are the things that catch the killers, right?
Sure. FBI profiling.
Yeah. So one such theory that gained notoriety was that of the smiley face killer. From the late 90s to as recent as 2008, as well as I saw some action in 2016, right?
Yeah, Donald Trump fucked us all.
Yeah. That fucking election.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there were these two detectives from New York City that propagated a theory after a single case that they were covering in 1997. Detective Kevin Gannon and his partner Anthony Duarte based much of their theorization off the disappearance of one Patrick McNeil, a 20-year-old student from Port Chester, New York, who was attending Fordham University at the time. And his body was found floating near a pier in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. I've actually been to Port Chester. It's a shithole.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I was...
Isn't that great? Have we ever said anything nice about anywhere? We need to do a shithole list.
Port Chester, yeah. In New York.
It's right on the border with Connecticut. And I was working at a place in Connecticut for the summer. And at night, we would leave there, go to Port Chester to buy booze, and then go back and drink at my buddy's apartment.
Nice.
But yeah, I just remember like we rolled into Port Chester. I'm looking around. I was like, wow, this town sucks. So it was written off McNeil's death as an accidental drowning because he was last seen exiting a bar called the Dapper Dog in New York City, and there was no sign of injury or foul play on his body, according to one police official. But McNeil's parents refused to believe that this was an accident, and they absolutely insisted something else had happened.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I mean, maybe North Koreans got it.
Yeah, who knows?
Like all those people in Japan.
Polonium, who knows? So, Detective Gannon, however, reported...
I hope we get big in Japan. That only happens to, like, the best of the weird people, and I think...
Jesse.
Oh my god, wait a minute, we are! The Ningen episode has, like, 5,000 plays!
Really?
Yeah, and to put that in perspective, like, that has, like, 4,000 fucking more plays than all the other episodes.
That has exactly 4,950 more plays.
Yeah. We're big in Japan, guys. We're like Spinal Tap.
So there's two things. Number one, we'd all be giant in Japan because, you know, they're little people.
Half you motherfuckers and are giant in the United States.
There's like fat Japanese dudes.
Yeah, they're called sumo wrestlers.
There's some tall motherfuckers over there.
Yeah, they're all white.
Yeah, like Bayonetta.
It's true, they stretch out. So anyway, continuing on. Gannon, however, reported that they found copious evidence suggesting that...
Copious evidence? Holy shit.
He had been killed and tortured and then dumped into the water. I read something about like there was like skin char and like ligature marks and burns and shit like that.
Yeah, it's quite excessive physical evidence that's considered circumstantial, but his autopsy report, which I looked over this afternoon, was quite it was definitely foul play involved.
Yeah. So with the hunch of something being off, Gannon promised the McNeils that he would find the truth.
Yeah, either this guy was murdered or fucking Fish got good at tying ligatures, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, you're fucking smart, man. You're like a fucking detective. We are detectives. You're my fucking partner. Oh, yeah, you're right. See? That's that brain I was telling you about.
That's why you're the good
That's
cop.
That's the detective
That's
brain.
That's why you're the boss.
That's why I would... It only took me 12 times to get my detective certification.
So, he promised that he would find out the truth. In 2001, he retired from New York Police Department and then enlisted his former partner, Duarte, to help him. He mortgaged his home and then started his nationwide investigations firm. From there, they detailed nearly 40 other crimes across the country, in 25 cities and 11 states.
40 alleged crimes.
Thank you, Counselor. 40 alleged crimes across the country and 25 cities and 11 states that they felt fit with the killer of McNeil.
Let's be honest here, Dan. Given your assessment, you know, you've been the MC of the show pretty much since the start. You've looked over thousands of cases of flim-flam with us and other various true crime subjects. Given your experience with the show, are we looking at confirmation bias here, or is there a definite thread between these 40-some-odd cases?
Confirmation bias.
I smell a new bit. What the fuck?
You guys are welcome. I've been waiting to use that one for friggin' weeks now. You guys are very welcome.
Yes.
Oh my god, it's wonderful.
Have you guys been planning that?
That's gonna be the Jeff confirmation bias bullshit bell that goes off.
I love it.
So, Jeff.
Yes.
That was awesome.
You have some experience in criminal profiling. What's your take on this?
Yeah. Well, okay, guys. So after I spoke with Jesse and Dan earlier today, it brought back a little bit of my Flexi and my you know, Department of Homeland Security anti-terrorism law enforcement background. I did get a chance to take a class, and a seminar at Flexi on criminal profiling that was actually done by some of the actual profilers that you guys would know and love.
Like John Douglas.
John Douglas actually spoke at it, but it was not given by him. It was one of his
fuck
proteges.
Yeah, no, that counts, baby. Yeah. His vocal cords vibrated. He was in the room.
I got to meet John Douglas. Got him to sign my copy of Mindhunter at the time. So it was great. So anyway,
John helped me out with my first book. John fucking
yeah, he's
rules.
A fucking awesome guy. I love that dude. So
hell yeah,
you just killed him, Jesse.
After doing that, after talking to them today, I decided to take a little bit of time, look at some of the cases, and I came up with a profile of a killer that maybe, if this was an actual case, let's not saying that it is, but if these were actually connected, what would be the profile of the killer that is doing these crimes? And here's what I came up with. Now, being said that, I've only done 3 profiles professionally before, so this is a 10-minute profile put together. Our suspect, or our unsub as it's called, is a white male, 35 to 50 years of age, with possible cult-like followings or followers. He is a loser who never finished college. He lives in the suburbs, but works in the city or may commute to the city often. He's not prone to losing his temper or outward rage in public or to people that he doesn't know. No family or intimate friendships. He is considered a hard worker. He is non-athletic and was a poor student, and likely it is due to a learning disability that he has. He has a family.
Oh man, we're off.
He has a family history. His family history is he comes from a lower class family, is likely from a broken home. He has better than normal knowledge of the internet itself. He demands attention and revels in fooling law enforcement as a means of proving his self-delusions of grandeur. And finally, he has accounts and participation in social media accounts, specifically 4chan and Reddit. And that
hey, is anyone getting really hot?
Having said that, I just want to say that no way was I trying to implicate any of the other people on podcast 1289, even though I pretty much nailed it with every single one.
Yeah, no, a lot of that was a little too close to home.
I need to point out I've never been off of the East Coast.
The reason why 4chan is in there, guys, is because of the timeliness, the time periods of the actual murders themselves, and the kind of websites that a person who could be able to create a hidden cult-like following would have been on would have been a 4chan.
No, and like especially boys like B, they have like people that come on all the time and say shit like that, and you're like, this guy's totally fucking with us, or holy shit, this guy came here and said he was gonna do that and it happened.
Yeah.
Which I believe has happened like 2 or 3 times.
Well, those are kind of the only 2 options.
Didn't that happen with VTech?
Yes.
The shooting at VTech?
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. Allegedly, there was also some speculation that Adam Lanza had announced his massacre on 4chan.
I remember back in the day on Encyclopedia Dramatica, I actually have seen the archived posts of the VTech shooter.
So Duarte claimed in 2018, and it pretty much mirrors your profile, that the killer would be the opposite to his victims, which I'll get into in just a second, that he was not smart, someone who wasn't good in school, and maybe doesn't have a job and wasn't really popular, so kind of a loner. So with that, going back to
like the anime
saw I'm not even getting into it. So going back to those 40 other crimes, what were those consistencies that were there that you may be asking yourself? So all of those victims, without fail, were athletic, white, college-aged males. They were all last seen leaving a bar or a party after drinking. They were missing for a period of time before discovery. All the bodies were found in rivers, streams, or like some sort of waterway. And then, the most damning of evidence, I feel, is that there was a smiley face found painted nearby where the bodies were either believed to have been put in the water or nearby where they were discovered.
Quote unquote nearby.
Nearby and near the bodies? Which ones? All of them?
Nearby the bodies of the 40 that they had narrowed down.
Yeah.
Not only were they college students, they were above average students in college. So they were not only good athletically, they were good students where they were doing above average as far as academically.
So all of these people were profiled and hunted.
So they submitted that given the presence of the graffiti and the similarities amongst the victims, that their deaths were the work of either a lone serial killer or a gang of murderers that were known as the Smiley Face Killer.
Are gangs, like, I mean, aside from, like, you know, cartels and shit, are gangs, like, really a thing anymore?
I mean, yeah, totally. 100%.
Like,
yeah.
MS-13 is, but, I mean, MS-13 ain't no, hiding
no, no,
what
I
they're
mean,
doing.
Like, well, MS-13 is all, like, that drug shit coming in for South America, supposedly. But no, like, you know, anytime I hear that shit, we think it's a gang of killers, like, it always, like, comes off as, like, very West Side Story.
Like, right.
The sharks are out there slaughtering people.
Well, like, why would there be a gang that just kills? Like, what's the point? You don't really get much by killing.
Part of the thing that I think makes this entire conspiracy or this theory fall apart is, and I know that you say one of the most damning things, Dan, is the smiley faces that are, but I think that is the thing that makes this
yeah,
fall apart.
Yeah, no, real quick, when I'm saying the most damning, I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, okay, yeah, because it's, when you say nearby, the nearby is so nondescript.
Yeah, no, I'll be getting into that shortly.
But now, but also really quick on the gang thing, it's like, okay, they always say like, yeah, these murders, it's a gang initiation. And it's like, you got to go all the way to like 10 before you even fucking join. That's how you, like, what do you do once you join? Like, it's just like, well, you know, we meet every Thursday. We talk about how we can contribute to the neighborhood. Like, they're just like the Shriners.
When you're a Jet, you're a Jet. And you'll kill all the white guys who were good at school.
So, real quick. God damn it. Fuck. Yeah, really, the Smiley Face Killer is one of the lamest names I've ever heard. But wasn't, like, the Smileys the name of a gang in that video game Manhunt, which fucking ruled?
I would like you to retract that statement. Like, that game actually, like, objectively sucked, but I love it anyway. So, yeah, fucking right on, Manhunt.
Wow, oh,
it sucks
it was
because its
shit.
Stealth is horrifically bare bones. The AI is practically non-existent. But goddamn,
oh, yeah,
you could hurt people
like,
some real
killing
good.
A guy
nice.
With a plastic bag was one of the
oh,
coolest
that.
Things I had ever done.
That's such a true story. It is so fucking awesome.
So, yeah.
Hey, Dan, if I remember correctly, the Smiley Face Killer was such a stupid idea that I think even the two detectives now kind of shun away from that reference to it because they think it kind of takes away from the seriousness of what they've put together as far as trying to connect the cases.
Yeah, no, the internet totally fucked this thing up. Yeah. And it didn't help. They didn't help their own case either.
Meanwhile, at a used car lot not far away.
And that, Mr. Thumbs, is why I'm here to buy a car from you.
First of all, I don't know what the fuck a blunt ride is. Second of all, my friends call me Louie. You can call me Mr. Thumbs.
Work works for me, sir.
All right, I think I can get you in a car. No problem. So, let's see, what do we have for you? Ah, I got it, the perfect car. It's a red 1958 Plymouth Fury. Classic car, white wall tires. Nice trim, leather seats, the whole shebang.
Wait a sec. I recognize you. Yeah, good evening, Christine. How's the family? This one, it's not gonna work for me. It's nothing against her, but it's weird driving around in a coworker.
Okay. I don't know what the hell you said there, but, I got another one for you. Look at you, you're dressed all classy, you're snazzed out. All right, I got it. It's a 1961 Lincoln Continental convertible. Very, very rare. Only one problem. The convertible top is stuck in the down position. And there also might be a small amount of red paint splatter on the back of the trunk.
The paint's not a big deal, but man, why is the front seat so far back and to the left?
Driver was very tall.
Yeah, I'm not. And I'll be honest with you, man, all that fresh air would give me a splitting fucking headache after a while, man.
I can see that. Allergy season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Let's see. Something smaller, a little, I got it. How about a compact car? I got a 1968 Volkswagen Bug. It's tan, and it's eco-friendly.
Yeah, I'm trying to fit a lot more people than that in the car. What about that one over there? It looks like a big black box.
That's a hearse, kid. What the fuck are you gonna do with a hearse?
Yeah, I got a lot of people I wanna, you know, blunt ride with. I mean, there's Kevin M, Matthew W, Breege B, Joe K, West T, Kathleen LH, Jamie F, Ann M, Jane MH, Elise N, and Nanners. And I really want a blunt ride with all of them.
What the fuck is a Nanners?
Man, I have been asking the same question for weeks now. No one will tell me.
Listen, I want to make this sale, but you're a weird little fuck. Get the hell off my lot. I don't want to deal with you anymore.
You said the magic words, sir. Have a nice day.
So while I was researching this, I came across one website that like sort of laid out the whole thing, but there was a map that I came across that detailed the different murders that they connected throughout, like found by a waterway, white college age male, blah, 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 all those things. And they claimed that this website that was researching this claimed that if you connected all the yellow points, which is where bodies were found.
What, does it make a smiley face?
It makes a mouth.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
I'm 100% serious at this.
Wait, the map makes a smiley face.
It makes what they claim is a fanged mouth looking, yeah.
It looks real dumb.
Yeah. I'll explain their thought process behind it real quick. But, like, I'm looking at this thing, and I'm guessing it's, like, one of those fucking magic guys. Like, it's a fucking sailboat.
You dumb bastard. That's a schooner.
Oh, my God. It looks like fucking Count Chocula's mouth.
Blah, blah. Blah, blah.
But, yeah, it looks like the cover to Count
That's
Chocula.
That's some fucking Hanna-Barbera shit.
Jesse, I would not say this if I didn't super mean it. That's insulting to Hanna-Barbera.
Whoever's mouth that is could eat a fucking apple through a chain link fence.
So, for those of you that aren't looking at the map right now, it starts in the New York City area. It goes upstate, is like all the way up to Canada, cuts back down through like northern Pennsylvania, like Scranton area. It goes back up into New York and then cuts down across to Ohio, which then goes across northern Ohio up into Michigan, back down around Lake Michigan, through Illinois, up into Wisconsin, and then it goes all the way up into Minnesota, comes back down, going through central Illinois, central Indiana, central Ohio, passing over Jesse's house.
I've been everywhere, man.
And then there are two white fangs that connect three different cities, which I don't really remember what the significance is, but I think I may have written it down further.
I think I have the significance. I believe what the significance is was we have these dots on this map and we drew a line between them.
Yeah, so the website that hosted this is 404'd, so I guess I will never really see, like, their whole context, if you will. But what I did, the website where I found it did give a bit of background to it, and I'm going to quote it directly.
Awesome.
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
The above map pattern was discovered by private investigator Mike Flaherty, and showed the image that appeared when you connect the dots between the towns where the suspected smiley face murder victims have died or went missing. The yellow dots are suspected victim locations. The red is the basic shape of a mouth, complete with the uvula. The white areas are to be fangs, And the towns of Moorhead and Beverly appear to be the Dimples.
The Dimples.
You go fuck yourself.
The evil look of the face matches a clue that was left at the death location in Ames, Iowa, which said, evil, happy, smiley face man.
Oh, that's my favorite Chinese restaurant.
I was gonna say, that's my favorite anime.
Look, like, things are clues, but, like, clues don't exist independent of this. How is it a clue?
Confirmation bias.
Let me ask you something here, because there I see three dots that are not even connected.
Yeah, no, there is a dot in northern Kentucky. There is a dot.
Those weren't convenient. Yeah. So,
those were the junior members of the Jets who didn't do it right.
They didn't count.
And I can't tell what that one in the far northeast or northwest is. But anyway, so I gotta say, if this is true, and this killer traveled around and plotted out these individual spots to make a smiley face, using Lake Michigan as the uvula, genius. Is this where Andy Kaufman went?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, this whole thing is like a really lame season of True Detective, except rather than McConaughey and Harrelson, it's like fucking Penn and Teller as cops. Like, have you seen a picture of these guys?
No, that show would fucking rule. Shut your fucking mouth. That would be that would probably be even better than True Detective. Don't even degrade that shit. This is more like if fucking Deputy Doofy from Scary Movie.
No, and I got one better.
Scott.
This is an investigation done by Trump and Trump's friggin' political advisor. That's what this is.
I'm sorry, that's already dated. He's probably got a new one by the time this goes out. Yeah.
Yup.
So really, does any of this have any credence?
No.
Are these the works of a serial killer network?
No.
Or just circumstantial coincidences?
There's a lot of circumstantial coincidence in this, but I think the problem is that there's been so much accessory bullshit that's been added to it to try to tie it together, like the smiley face, like this bullshit friggin' map.
That's kind of
bullshit. I mean, if they had stuck with just the, you know, the base, the victimology and those things, I think they would have a little bit of a better leg to stand on with trying to sell this theory.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. If they had treated it professionally.
Ah, but there's still a mystery here. Gentlemen, what do you think left the smiley face?
Bored teenagers.
So, yeah. most law enforcement agencies...
Crab Peterson.
wrote this off.
Is that Jordan Peterson but a crab?
Yes. What's the difference?
Yeah, but how does he use the spray cans with the claws?
So most law enforcement agencies write these off as accidental drownings due to the presence of alcohol. And the smiley faces that are found near the bodies are not consistent. Like, no, like, general shape, no general, like, paint, like, strokes, if you will. But they, moreover, weren't reliably found within close proximity of the bodies and simply written off as, it's a fucking smiley face and they're fucking everywhere.
Here's a little thing that I found today on the internet, because it never lies, but this thing I can actually buy. I could buy this, that a smiley face or triple X's are the two most frequently spray painted images in the entire world. So, I mean, if you know, this could be the triple X killer as much as it could be the smiley face killer.
Vin Diesel, what are you doing? Yeah, no. Jeff's right. I guarantee there's a smiley face fucking within 1,000 feet of where your asses are pancaked out right now, boys.
That's right.
I was going to say swastikas are lowercase t's.
What's the T for? It's a cross. A cross from where?
Time to leave.
So the Center for Homicide Research submitted a brief debunking of the smiley face murder theory back in 2010. Of this 12-page report, 4 of them are references and citations, so it's pretty thorough and pretty convincing. So, highlights include that the smiley faces do not match each other. There's difference in paint age with correlation to the times that the bodies would have been killed or where they were found. Like that smiley face has been there for 3 years, but this body's only been here a week. Like, that sort of thing.
But what if he's not spraying the smiley faces? What if he's dumping his victims where he knows smiley faces already are?
Man, is your dumbass gonna, like, drive around finding smiley faces and marking it on a fucking map?
No. What if he's traveling back in time?
No, wait. What if this guy has done it? What if he did them all from, like, a long time ago?
All the smiley faces that are spray painted up in the entire world were done by this one guy? I believe that more than I believe that there's a serial killer.
Yeah, with a time machine.
He's like the Banksy of smiley faces.
He's the Banksy did it. That's...
Man, that's just fucking Mr. Brainwash.
No. That doesn't explain everything.
We can do that. We can accuse fake people of murder.
That's right. Fake people of the fake serial killer.
Dylan? What's the ruling on this?
I don't know. That's probably not. Banksy still refers to at least one person.
Here's the one thing I think that does come out of this that's positive, is that of those 40 cases they narrowed it down to, there have been, Dan, and I don't mean to step on you if you were going to mention
this,
but
go.
These ones that were originally, they were originally slated as accidental drownings, about 20% of these cases have been relooked at and have been changed to homicides, including that one, the original one up in New York. So there is McNeil. Some good that's come out of this investigation and this. And to conclude, or to jump on that homicide paperwork that you said, that also the FBI had sent out, this is back when I was in the Department of Homeland Security, had sent out a memo along with a giant study where they completely debunked the shit out of this also.
Oh, yeah. No, this study rules. I read most of it. Like, I got, like, the good talking points for the show, and I was like, all right, I gotta finish writing this. But yeah, no, they basically said, like, there hasn't been any real criteria established that specifies the distance that the smiley faces must occur within proximity of the body. And additionally, holy shit, this thing had legs.
Yeah. It's the one thing that I think sucks about this, and I don't mean to shit on my former brothers in law enforcement, but it seems to me that this these detectives, they were getting close to the end of their time. They were looking for something to create a new career on, and so they came up maybe they really thought this was connected at first, but this expansion of it feels a lot like the missing 411 thing, where they're just trying to sell a book and a story. I say that by the mortgaging of the house with the ideas that he's going to probably collect a windfall of money later on with his book deals and his creation of this mythological smiley face killer. And I that may or may not be true, but that's kind of what it feels like to me.
Yup.
I've spent 15 years trying to catch this bastard.
You know what? That seems like the new, that would be like the new Mark Wahlberg, Will Ferrell movie. It's two detectives that don't feel like actually doing anything, so they invent this fake serial killer. So like whenever the captain's like, what are you doing? You know, I was, we're on the Taco Bell killer case.
I mean, shit, McNulty did it in The Wire.
No longer is it yellow journalism, now it's yellow police work. You know, we're going to create an issue that isn't there.
What? No. So, a couple, like, real quick, like, let me just go through a couple of the bullet points. Like, this is my last thing. Of the Center for Homicide research brief on the drowning, the smiley face murder theory. It says, several problems exist with the theory of a smiley face killer. Like, and then it's like these points with the paragraph of each of them why it's bullshit. But I'm just going to go through the bullet points. There's a problem with time order, which means like what I said about the correlation between the paint being there and the bodies being found, like the aging behind that. The fact that graffiti is fucking omnipresent, it's everywhere. None of the smiley faces exactly match one another. And then one thing I didn't go over, the word Sinisiwa, which is an old Native American word meaning rattlesnake. Or, like, something like that. But there are towns that are named that throughout the Midwest, and it's a pretty common term, so, like...
Companies in Minnesota have that name, so...
Yeah, so it was one of those things, like, this word was found near the body, and that include several spellings. And, so they thought that that was another calling card of the smiley face killer. I read a message board, the most reliable of information sources. Mm. A guy said, oh, Sinsinawa is an old Chippewa word. Like, I think you don't know what you just said.
So basically the calling cards of the smiley face killer is inability to draw or spell.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and a reference to something that's everywhere.
Continuing on, there had been no criteria established specifying the necessary distance that a smiley face must occur in the proximity of a deceased body in order to be counted. There's one that says there is no evidence of victim trauma because, like, with that first initial one, the gentleman that was tortured and then dumped into the the bay, they sort of like latched onto that, but a lot of the bodies that were found, there was no physical trauma identified. So that was just another thing that they tried to like throw onto the fire, but it never really worked.
Which is why in my assessment of the profile, I put down that the man is not filled with rage or temper, because whoever is killing these people is not having massive violent acts on them. It's somehow like holding them and then silently killing them in humane ways that don't seem to manifest themselves into violent or any kind of like traumatic violence on the bodies.
So continuing on, it said homicidal drowning is extremely rare and only account for
not in Iraq and Afghanistan.
1% God of damn. U.S. killings. Holy shit, Jeff.
Sorry, guys.
Fuck.
Fucking government-trained killer.
There, like, it goes on to note that there are few cases known to exist that involve, like, homicidal drowning, but most of them involve parents drowning their own kids, or on occasion, a husband will drown his wife in a bathtub. This is America.
Wasn't that in What Lies Beneath?
It continues on to say that the idea that water washes away all evidence is a myth, which is true. Like, if someone tells you, like, how you throw it in there...
It's in the water. Now no one can figure it out.
It's part of the water now. It doesn't count.
I mean, I don't know. It depends on what the evidence is. Because, yeah, you could say that, but by the same token, if I had a dollar for every time I saw some true crime documentary and the cop was like, yeah, but the fucking body had been in the water for, like, 2 or 3 weeks, so we really couldn't get anything off of it. So who knows?
Like some stuff for sure.
Well, no, like it continues on saying since the water is cold, it acts as a deterrent to decomposition and thereby like would be preserving for like wound patterns and things like that. But like, yeah, water might wash off blood, investigations show that they could be recovered from immersed bodies and things like that, like latent fingerprints. And from like river drownings, investigations have shown that it is possible to obtain fiber evidence and blood evidence from recovered remains, which was used to convict Wayne Williams of the Atlanta child murders.
Good.
So, forensics is amazing sometimes. So continuing on, drowning doesn't fit a serial killer motive. Confessions by correctional inmates are often unreliable because, like...
100%.
Yeah, some guy claimed that he was the guy that drowned this Jenkins fellow, and because he was telling it to another inmate who then told somebody else, and it just got back to people, and they're like, there's no fucking way this guy did that. He shut the fuck up. It's like in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
They killed that poor kid.
He had it coming.
He was going to help Mr. Dufresne's. How dare you?
How could you be so obtuse? What did you call me?
And then continuing on, it says, the general environment of these disappearances are often conducive to an accidental drowning, which means, like, they were drunk and wandered around and fell into water, because they were all, like, places that are nearby bodies of water.
Sure. And every so often, you want to go for a long walk near a body of water in the cold.
While drunk.
Yeah, you're leaving the bar, you're walking home.
And that's, like, low on the list of dumb shit I've done while drunk and in college.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's far worse things you could be doing.
Oh, fair.
Well, guys, you gotta think. Like, these are all college-age dudes, and, like, do you remember how you drank when you were in college? You drank like a fucking fish. God. You didn't know what the fuck you were doing. So you get shithouse, and you're fucking walking downhill, and where's water? At the lowest point, guess what?
Ice cold water on top of that, so once you hit it and your body goes into shock, you immediately panic and then drown.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it goes on to cite a statistic from La Crosse, Wisconsin, that foot patrols and police had stopped over 50 intoxicated persons in fall 2006 through February 2010 from approaching the river late at night. So basically, cops were out there and saved these people over this course of years from falling into the water. Yeah, and then, like, the process in which intoxicated men accidentally fall into the river is pretty well documented. You're drunk, you don't know what's happened. You fall in, and you fucking panic, and you drown.
Dylan, was that the Sonic drowning music?
Yeah, it was.
You nice. Fucking nerd.
Nice. That's a deep cut.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, there was some weird shit with those fucking bodies they found, though. Like, we mentioned before the ligature marks. Then there was the guy that they pulled out of the fucking water on his back, which is very uncommon for drowning victims to be found in water on your back. And not only was he found on his back, he had his hands folded across his chest as if in a funeral pose.
While being frozen half in a block of ice.
Yes.
Well, what I was thinking about that, because like you brought that up to me, and like first off, like the fact that they're grasping at so many straws to try to connect these things, that just might be an outlier. Like that was the only site for that behavior, was that only one guy, the fellow that like had his arms across his chest. So he might have just been like, he might have just been drunk and fell asleep and got cold, and then like water, you know, like he just fell into the water, or like he was laying in a creek bed. Who the fuck knows?
Or even if he was killed and put in that position, like that doesn't connect it in any way to any of the other.
Right, yeah. Right. The only thing that does make it a little creepy is going back to what Jesse said, is there were more than a few of them that were found face up, which is totally against the way bodies are normally found in drowning.
And like, yeah, maybe these were murdered people, but it doesn't mean that it's all the same people.
But it's a pretty big area that they're looking at.
You're also talking about 40 different cases. I mean, there's going to be similarities in across the board.
Yeah, this is a quarter of the country. Yeah. Like, the law of averages, everything's gonna end out to zero one day, right?
All right, so apparently in August of 2008, this case was brought to the attention of the guy who is supposed to
be... April 2008. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm looking at it right now. It says August 6, 2008.
Okay. I'm really high right now. I'm sorry.
Fuck, man. No, but apparently Sam Graves, a congressman, wrote a letter to fucking Bob Mueller. And back then he was the director of the FBI under Shrub. So, Jeff.
Yes.
What happened here when Graves brought this up to fucking Mueller? And by the way, in the memorandum, he fucking misspells his name twice.
That's how you know that they're not the ones who write those memorandums. But anyway, so Mueller actually, he passed it off to what is called the Criminal Assistance Division, which is now what used to be the Profiler Division. And he has one of his top profilers at the time, a man named Patrick Brown, go through it. He didn't have very much good things to say about it, but the FBI, after an extensive, and they put some time into it. They put a good 5-6 months at their Criminal Profiler Division, along with some of the Minneapolis and the Chicago area FBI offices, and they came out with this final statement. The FBI has reviewed the information about the victims provided by the two retired police detectives who have dubbed these incidents the Smiley Face Killers. They have interviewed an individual who provided information to the detectives. To date, we have not any evidence to support links between any tragic deaths or any evidence substantiating the theory that these deaths are the work of any killer or serial killers. The vast majority of these instances appear to be alcohol-related. The FBI will continue to work with the local police in the affected areas to provide support as requested. That comes from the FBI National Press Office, the FBI statement regarding the Midwest River deaths, as they've been called by the actual Federal Bureau of Investigation. But there was a lot of the Pioneer Press, a person named Ruben Rosario, followed up with this, and they really pressed for more information on this. A lot of conspiracy theories came out about it, but it basically came down to the fact that there was just nothing there. Nothing. They didn't discount the links, but they said, look, there's just nothing there that puts this anything more than murders that maybe have occurred that are not related to one another.
Yeah, so the FBI basically says there's nothing there.
Yeah, these guys are idiots.
However, the FBI has not closed the... They renamed it the Midwest River Deaths, and that is an actual non-closed case, open investigation that continues to gather evidence.
How would you like to be the fucking guy on that case?
Yeah, but like, how funny would it have been if back when the Mueller investigation ended, he's like giving testimony before Congress, and everyone's waiting for the big bombshell that's going to lead towards impeachment, and it's just, he announces that he thinks that Trump is the Smiley Face Killer. Yes. They just take him away in a fucking straitjacket off the floors and go, I'm telling you, it was him!
Thank you.
Brooklyn, where we live at. Juggling in the trap. Handling the big ass.
What?
My army got my big ass.
I'm a Brooklyn survivor. These streets is hotter than lava.